Hello and welcome to this week's Wikipedia Wanderers, where we're discussing watching live football in the stadium.
Nice. Okay.
So, Dave, last time you watched a live football match, when was it?
The last time
the I watched... The latest football match live.
Can it be any football match, or are we talking like professional?
You've got to have bought a ticket.
Oh, okay, I've got to have bought... Okay, that's a good clarification. That's a good clarification. I think...
Just thought of it, right off the top of the bonfire there.
Nice. I think... The last one I watched was with you at Folkestone Invicta.
Oh, really?
Two Christmases ago, I think. Well, last Christmas.
Last Christmas.
Last Christmas, yeah, last Christmas. That would be the last one, because I didn't go and watch the pre-season friendlies here.
Oh, you were meant to watch them. There was a change of clubs, wasn't there?
I was meant to watch Spurs v Roma, and it turned out to be Spurs v Lion City Sailors. So I was like, no thanks.
Yeah, I think quite rightly that Roma Council, because it was really poorly managed and wasn't there really bad weather as well? And
no, they had double booked themselves.
Oh, Roma had.
Roma had double booked themselves. Roma were playing in a pre-season tournament in Japan or Thailand and didn't realise that the
double
date...
Double booked themselves.
Yeah.
Like, oh, check my diaries. Oh, I can't believe I've done this. This is really embarrassing.
I think they were in a tournament somewhere else in Asia that was like... It was like not a league, it was like a qualification thing. So if you win, you go to the final sort of thing, like the Audi Cup, you know. But they double booked themselves. That's what I understood. So,
in fact, my last match was also Folkestone Invicta.
Okay. Who'd they play?
Chatham Town lost 3-2 last minute. They scored in the 90 something minutes. Folkestone did to equalise 2-2. And then there was still time for Chatham to go up the other end and make it 3-2.
Ah. You're loving that if you're a Chatham fan.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's limbs everywhere for all the 50 people that are there. Okay, so overall then, how many games do you reckon you've been to, fitting that criteria of being having to pay admission to watch football?
Loads.
What's your ballpark? What's your...
Over 100, under 500, I'd say.
Over 100?
Well, I had a season ticket at Old Trafford with my mum.
For how many years?
Four years, I think. So, and that was going... I went to every single European home game that we had in that 4 years. 5 years. I think it was 5 years. Yeah, something like that. Every European home game in midweek, I used to drive up from Birmingham and go and watch. And then I'd say every other weekend we had a home game. So not like every second home game I would probably go and watch.
So 10 home games... And probably maybe best part of, you know, 5+.
Yeah, and then FA Cup, League Cup, a few of those in there as well. And then I watched a few in Bristol when I lived in Bristol. I've been to Wembley numerous times to watch England. I'd say ballpark, let's go 200, I'd say.
Really? Yeah. I'd say I'm at... So I've actually got a list of all the Tottenham games I've seen I can remember seeing.
Okay.
And I try to have a programme from each.
Yeah.
So, and I've also subsequently made a list of all the players that have appeared in those matches.
You're such a nerd. Yeah.
So I can then, you know, filter and go, oh, the player I've seen most is this player. The player I've seen score most. Or I've seen this player. Oh, have you ever watched him play? Yeah, I've watched this player play.
And so, okay, interesting. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, so I think I probably... Not even at 50. It's typically kind of one a season I've kind of gone to watch. I'm probably around the 25, 30 at most.
Okay.
I think I'm at 20-something for Spurs, and then there'll be other bits and pieces that I've watched.
Yeah, fair. No, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. So
of yours, then, majority are Old Trafford?
Yes. I'd say if I was to have a pie chart, the largest segment of the pie chart would be Old Trafford for attendance. Probably second by Wembley, I'd say.
Okay.
Yeah.
And any other notable stadiums on that list?
The Nou Camp.
You'd like to call?
I saw Barcelona Getafe at the Camp Nou.
Messi.
Messi was there. He was so lazy, but was so good. It was ridiculous how good he was. It really made me appreciate how good of a footballer he actually is, because he's still doing it in the MLS. St Andrews in Birmingham was a surprisingly good stadium.
Also been there. I watched Spurs lose 3-4-1 to Birmingham. Mikel Forsell hat trick.
Oh, okay.
Watched that was a good day.
Ruud van Nistelrooy score a hat trick in front of me while I was in the Birmingham end. and trying not to celebrate because my favourite striker playing for my favourite team scored a hat trick.
So we both had to suppress our emotions for different reasons.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to think. Old Wembley, New Wembley, they were both very, very good. I want to say it's called the Cardiff International Stadium, but I can't remember what it's actually called in Cardiff.
Is it Millennium?
The Millennium Stadium, that's the one, yeah. Millennium Stadium, that was very impressive. Abroad, I've not seen football in all the stadiums I've been to, because I like to make a habit of going to see stadiums in different countries when I'm there. But Croatia has some lovely stadiums, but I didn't see any football. So
yeah. What football have you watched abroad then?
Barcelona.
Yeah.
Barcelona, Getafe, and... Does Wales count as abroad? Because obviously we've been to Bala, so...
Yeah, we have been to Bala town. Yeah.
Technically, we didn't buy the tickets, but it is a professional game.
But that is a pay entry. We just important as guests there.
We got them gifted. The VIPs. Yeah. Actually, just Barcelona, I think, for a game in foreign lands, to actually watch a game in foreign lands.
Okay. And what about
Singapore. Singapore.
Singapore. Yes,
I've seen football in Singapore, yeah. That's true. Yeah.
And what about your first ever match, then, Dave? Do you remember it?
Yes.
Or what's the first match you can remember?
It's the first match I think I ever went to live. And as a Man United fan, it was Arsenal v Liverpool at Highbury.
That's a fair old first match, because I remember as a kid they used to put on coaches to go up to, be it Charlton or QPR, and watch some games. So I thought you were going to have a similar story to me about my first match, which I'm not quite sure they were. I would default to my first match. But so you went to watch at Highbury, Arsenal-Liverpool, was that?
Arsenal-Liverpool at Highbury. It was 2-1 to Liverpool, I think, with Steve McManaman scoring. And... I wanted to say Owen, but I think it was before Michael Owen. It must have been before Michael Owen, so maybe Robbie Fowler. But obviously there was me, a Man United fan, my brother, a Liverpool fan, and we're sitting in the Arsenal bit. Like the main, it wasn't like a behind the goal, which I would call like the main fan supporters normally are behind the goals. It was like one of the side, I don't know, maybe the clock side or something. But yeah, it was interesting. Liverpool played in their bright yellow away kit. Can you remember that? It had red Carlsberg on it, bright yellow. Obviously, Arsenal played in red. It was a really good game, yeah. And it was eye-opening, I think, as a first game. Lots of swearing. My dad wasn't ready for that. He won the tickets. That's why we went. We didn't, like, he won these tickets. And he's not really a big football fan, my dad. So, yeah, it was good fun. Yeah.
My first match was also Liverpool, but it was Tottenham Liverpool, 97-98. It was a 3-3 draw. Steve McManaman grabbed a couple. Michael Owen played, but Paul Ince grabbed the other. For Spurs, it was Rama Vega, David Ginler, and Jürgen Klinsmann got the goals.
Blood, yeah. What a game to watch.
Yeah, you know, it was really exciting. My vivid memory is walking out from the bar area, up the steps into the stadium for the first time, and thinking, wow, there's a lot of people all, like, just, it's kind of mesmerising, because it just stands all around you. And just so many people all focusing on one pitch, which is just, yeah, it's, yeah, it'll always stay with me. And it's not like White Hart Lane was what, 36,000 seaters, so it wasn't huge, but that's still 36,000 people just kind of.
Because I remember having that feeling, because obviously we were lucky enough with our school to have a sports trip to Barcelona, right? And we toured the stadium. And I remember walking out then thinking, this is massive. And then going back when it's full of a crowd is just insane. It's just absolutely like how high they are up on those tiered banks in the Nou Camp. It was absolutely ridiculous to see it. So yeah, I understand that feeling of being mesmerized by the amount of people and the atmosphere. Yeah.
So you go to a match, what does your typical match day look like? Do you like to get there early? Do you like to drink yourself into a stupor and turn up 5 minutes into the first half? Talk me through it.
Turn up a little bit early, because I like to soak in the atmosphere. I generally don't drink a lot before football, because I actually enjoy watching the football. I want to know what's going on and see if I can spot little tactical things and stuff like that. But always get a burger or some sort of like football ground food, whether it's Folkestone Invicta, Old Trafford or Wembley. I'll always eat something. If it's Old Trafford, I'll get it outside. There's a really good burger place that does a dirty burger just outside, so I'll always get that. Generally buy a match day program, I'll generally always buy a Matchday Pro, similar to you, so I can have that, you know, 30 years down the line, I'll find them in the loft or something and have that memory.
So, do you ever read it?
I think if I get to my seat and I'm surprisingly really early, then I'll read something in it or look about. At Old Trafford, I generally used to look at, like, how the youth team had got on. I'd read the little blurb or page or something about the under-21s and the under-18s and see if there was names I recognised from Football Manager or something like that, or people I need to keep an eye on and things like that. But no, generally it was a bit of get there a little bit early, a bit of food, soak up a little bit of atmosphere, look around club shops and things like that, and then go to my seat and get in there. Yeah.
Then during the match, are you a singer or do you stay silent?
I'm a communal singer. So if people around me are singing, I'll join in, but I won't actively. I like the idea of singing. Like, so I was sat in the Stretford End and watched Man United Arsenal once with some friends, and that was non-stop singing, and I absolutely loved it. But I've also sat right for Man United, St Etienne, when we won the Europa League, that year won the Europa League in the quarterfinal, Man United v St Etienne. I basically sat behind the St Etienne box, dugout, sorry, and it was just really interesting to have that. Like, it was quite quiet in that area, but you could hear everything the managers were in French. Hear everything the managers were saying.
It's going to be in French.
How was
your French?
But yeah, it's not as good as yours, but it's sort of there. You know, when they said "Sacre bleu," I knew what they were saying. but you could hear like Mourinho and the United bench discussing things and stuff like that, and subs coming on and players shouting at each other, which I really enjoyed as well. So, I would say I'm generally not a singer. I sing more in like pubs if I'm at a supporters club or something. But yeah, at the stadium, no. I'm a sheep. If people around me are singing, I'm singing.
I'll probably be similar. I think singing is one of the only impacts you can really have as a fan in the stadium. Like, yeah. Getting a good atmosphere going. So definitely, I think I'd promote everybody want, like, do try and sing. But yeah, if no one else around you is, it's a bit it's a bit hard to start a chant or follow another stands chant. So what about, where do you like to sit then? You mentioned you sit in a couple of places. Where would you could, you know, pinpoint your season ticket or your ticket for this match, where would you go?
Oh,
you don't have the benefit of hindsight being able to sit behind a goal which has all the goals in.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? If it's my club, like if I'm going to a United game and had a season ticket at Old Trafford, I probably would pick the Stretford End to be in amongst a bit more of the singing, a bit more of where the atmosphere is generated from. But I really love, for neutral games, I do love sitting around the halfway line, getting to see all the action. You're like, you're not sort of like squinting and staring in the distance to see what's happening at the far end of the goal. I'd probably go somewhere on the halfway. For most games, I'd go like halfway line, half height up sort of thing. Proper analysis of you. Director's box. Yeah, director's box. Yeah, director's box. So.
So, I'm not a fan of this. Don't think anyone should ever do it. Have you ever left early?
No. I've paid all my money. I want to see the whole game, even if I'm getting smashed. So I'm staying there.
No, sorry. Nor have I. And I do find some satisfaction when fans have left early and they're outside the stadium and there's a roar and they've come back into it and they're like, oh, God.
So I've had that.
Do not let that person back in.
I've had the reverse of that, where I arrived slightly late to a Man United game. And as I was jogging to the stadium, because I got stuck in traffic on the way up from Birmingham, as I was jogging to the stadium, there was a massive roar. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. And we'd taken the lead against Hull 1-0. And I missed it. Dear. Yeah.
And who scored?
Oh, I don't know. I can't remember that. It wasn't the game against Hull where Menucho scored, because I remember that. In the Carling Cup, I think it was. Maybe something like that, yeah.
Right, that leads us nicely into the next question, actually. The most memorable moment you've had in the stadium?
Oh, Michael Owen. 95th minute, Man City. That goal.
Oh, we 4-3.
4-3. 2-0 up. Rio Ferdinand had a shocker, passed it to Craig Bellamy.
He tried to flick it over someone.
He tried to lob, like, spoon pass over Bellamy, who just chested it down and ran through. Ben Foster thought he was going to cross it, and he started moving to his left and just fired it in the near post. And then Michael Owen scored that goal with Ryan Giggs' pass in front of me, basically in front of me and my mum. We sat in the northeast quadrant. That was the end it was scored in. It was just, it's got a lot of memorable moments. We beat Man City. It was the last minute, and it was the first game I saw with my mum as season ticket holders. Like, because we shared, we had our own, and then we shared the other one with another guy, and he couldn't make the derby. So rather than selling it, he offered it to us, and we went. It's the first game we ever saw together at Old Trafford, and it ended like that, and it was amazing. So, yeah, really good. Definitely the most memorable. What about you? Yeah, in a stadium.
It would have been 2-1 Spurs against Arsenal, and it was the one with the Danny Rose goal.
Oh yeah, okay.
And so I was sat. I basically kind of sat on the halfway line, but probably just inside the half where Danny Rose scored, but had the perfect line behind Danny Rose when he kicked it, and it kind of just been Almunia was kind of flapping. So that was just that. Yeah, that was really good, because before the match it was really confusing, because Danny Rose was still in his kind of I think it might have been his debut, full debut. He was playing right wing and couldn't quite work out a formation. He does that, and I think in that was all the players celebrated. And the match got restarted quickly because they weren't on the pitch, I think. And yeah, so it was it was just all a bit exciting at that point. And yeah, that would be it. So yeah, watched it with my dad then, and saw a great view of Danny Rose's goal.
Nice. I've got my second most memorable is Paul Scholes' sort of half volley against Barcelona in the semi-final of the Champions League to put us through into the final. I was there for that. That was an unbelievable. Honestly, when he hit it, everyone around us was like, what a hit. It's definitely deflected off Carlos Puyol. And then you saw the replays and it's curled like round him and gone in the top corner. It was amazing. Yeah. Lovely stuff.
Cool. Have you ever been to a stadium to watch anything other than football? As in a football stadium for another sport or a music event or something like that?
Yeah. So music events. In Singapore, I've seen the Red Hot Chili Peppers at the National Stadium, which is primarily set up for football. It was okay. I think that was more Singapore's conservative nature of events spoiling it rather than the stadium. But I've also watched the NFL at Wembley. Yeah, that was really good. I really enjoyed that. That was done really, really well. Saw that a couple of times. But I don't think I must have seen other people. Oh, Oasis at Wembley was unbelievable. That was really good. But other than that, I'm struggling. Yeah, I can't think of like other sports or something other than NFL, where the pitch is pretty much the same, right? So
yeah, no, I don't think I've watched anything else at a football stadium. No, I don't think I've seen any music gigs at a football stadium. Been to other sports. I've been to watch basketball, been to watch baseball, but no, never anything in a football stadium.
I like that. How did you find, or how would you compare sort of basketball and football? I think baseball's a bit too far separated, but obviously basketball is two team sports, quite fast paced, quite high action, you know, compared to, with football. So
I'll start off with my amazing fact is that the basketball court can fit within the 18 yard box.
Oh my god.
To give some perspective of how small basketball court is compared to a football pitch.
It doesn't feel that small when you're watching it live.
It doesn't, no, but there's more like the peripherals, isn't there? There's the edge of the court where you can go around. So it kind of, but yeah, and so it's really weird having a stadium built around an 18-yard box.
Yeah, it is.
And so yeah, basketball's fun actually. Cause it's the good thing about football is ebb and flow to it, and there's highs and lows. Basketball is kind of relentless
point scoring.
I was about to say relentless mediocrity, but it's not quite. It's kind of relentless action, but I much prefer the cadence of a football match.
I agree, yeah. We went to, we were lucky enough in Miami to go and see Miami Heat play, and the game started, and Miami Heat scored within, I don't know, 20 seconds, 15 seconds or something. Literally first possession of the ball went up. Scored a pretty decent slam dunk, I think it was. But Katie turned around to me and was like, oh, has it started? I was like, yes, this is... She was so involved in the build-up to it, which was obviously so American, and I don't use that as a derogatory term. I mean that as in it's an event in itself, the build-up to it, that she was so involved in looking around at that when the hooter sounded and the ball was tossed and all of that, she completely missed it. She was like, oh, we've started. Like, what? They're 2-0 up. Okay, yeah. So
what are your thoughts on that, the Americanization and the... Because obviously they have some sports which do have a fair few lulls, and so they need to keep the excitement going. And even with basketball, you have your timeouts and things that they don't want people to. There's a kind of fear of boredom, I feel, with American sports. They don't want a draw; they want to see an outright winner. your thoughts on that, and would you like to see anything involved in anything come to football? Like the one I do like, I can't remember his name. It's in, I think it's baseball, where they have that kind of 400-meter runner. I want to say like Frozone or something like that.
I can't remember his name.
And you see the clips of him, and I feel like you can do that at like a half time thing. I think is okay at football because nothing else is going on. They're just kind of repairing divots and a few players having a kick about. I don't want anything else, like, your break for a VAR decision to get the cheerleaders out. I'm not saying that, but...
Yeah, it's an odd one. I feel like I really enjoy it in American sports, like, especially when you're watching them live in the stadium, it's good to have a bit of hype to keep you going. Like you say, there's a lot more stoppages that means I think that's acceptable. But it's like, I don't want it to come into football and ruin what I know football is, sort of thing, which is when there's an offside call, that's the time you chat to your mate about, like, was he offside? Wasn't he offside? Oh, I don't know. I don't want noise and music over the tannoy. Something I am a big fan of, though, is at the end of games, towards the end of the season, when players bring family members and kids on, and a really small kid will score a goal, and the whole crowd will go mental. I absolutely love that. I do absolutely love that.
I remember there was I want to say Spurs were involved, but definitely Middlesbrough. I think it was when Woodgate and Keane were Middlesbrough manager and assistant manager, and Robbie Keane's child was the mascot before the match, this is. And he goes, we've got to be like three, four at that time. He sees the ball and he dribbles it to be one of the goals and scores before the match starts. It's like, okay, that's pretty brazen from him. He must have had some instruction before match, like, don't do this. He's like, nah, I'm doing it.
I love that. I like it. Yeah, I like it. Yeah. So it'll get the crowd going as well. Get the crowd on side. Get the crowd happy more than anything.
Yeah.
So
rather than the tense nature of it, often is a football match.
Exactly.
Okay, so obviously you've seen many matches, over 100 matches. What are the matches or stadiums that are on your bucket list that you would like to go to?
Oh. Can I clarify? Am I 100% safe no matter where I go?
No.
No. Oh my God. Okay, that's changing it. Because I mean,
no. This is like, if I had the money, I'd take us to watch this match this season, and I don't have much money to security guards. I have enough money for tickets and to just your normal entry. So you're not watching Boca River.
That's exactly what I would say. I'd say Boca River Plate. If I can't guarantee my safety, then I'm not doing I'm probably not going to go and do La Bombonera River Plate v Boca.
What a name of a stadium, though, Bombonera. I know. That is.
Yeah. I think I really have always wanted to watch Madrid at the Bernabeu. I think that would be. That's definitely on my bucket list to do something like that. I'm a fan of like the exotic, though, like a bit of the unknown. Like, I'd love to go to like Ecuador and watch an Ecuadorian Premier League game. I don't care who. I'd just love to go and do something like that.
I feel like if you're worried about your safety, traveling into the further depths of South America is probably...
Yeah.
I don't know anything about Ecuador's political and kind of criminal system at the moment, but it feels like it's a bit more rogue.
Yeah, true. I think, like, honestly, I don't have that many matches and stadiums on the bucket list because I'd like to just watch in as many places as possible. As many different teams, as many different places as possible is something I'd always love to do. Like, I went on a golf holiday with some friends to Thailand, and we looked at their football schedule, and we had just missed, like, it was in a sort of, it was a festival break because they don't have Easter and things like that, but they had another Thai festival, and it was in a break that was there, and we were gutted that we couldn't go and watch like even a second division game. Like, I mean, I love going to watch Folkestone and Victor. It's live football. I love watching my amateur team play in Singapore. It's live football. It's just, I'd always go and watch as much as I could. I think, bucket list is Madrid, definitely, though.
I'm the kind of person who, if you're out and about and there's literally Sunday League going on, I will stand and watch that Sunday League match for a bit just to see what's happening, how it's playing out.
Especially with Sunday League, I love watching it and being like, I want to figure out who the best player is on this pitch right now, and then I'll go, sort of thing. That's what I like to like. Who's the best player and how good is he? What level do I think he could get at? Can I scout him? Can I approach him afterwards and be like, do you need an agent? But yeah, what about you? Have you got a bucket list? Have you got?
It's similar to yourself, really. Is the that kind of mythical nature of, you know, the Argentinian derby, the Bombonera, and, you know, the River of Boca. You know, even I wouldn't mind going up to watch Glasgow, you know, kind of Celtic Rangers. That's anything with that really, and I don't really want the aggressive vibe, but just that real passion.
Yeah,
you know, you can go, you could think I go to Turkey or something like that, but then I just want to, I want to toe the line between kind of toxic masculinity and overly aggressive, just to, or to great atmosphere.
It's the reason why I asked what the clarification question of I safe? Because if I'm safe, I'll go to loads of games that I'd never even attempt to get a ticket for, because I'd just be worried about my safety. So,
have you ever watched a match in hospitality?
Yes, once at Old Trafford.
And how does that compare to watching it with the peasants?
It was good, but it was definitely different. Again,
were you within a box watching it? Or did
so we had the option. You could watch it from the box or have a seat slightly down. But the box wasn't like our box. It was the box of everyone that had a seat in that sort of section. Now, the section was small. It was like 20 people. But I still preferred to go to my seat and have my seat and have that view that I knew I was getting, rather than being an air-conditioned box or something. But
padded seat?
Slightly padded seat. I'd say like office chair padded. So it wasn't like luxury, but I'd say it was, slightly padded.
Shout out to the Instagram account Padded Seat, using an idea which I am very jealous of. They basically just go round and sampling hospitality at football stadiums, and it's branched out to other stadiums, basically give a review of the hospitality at stadiums, and it's hundreds of thousands of followers. Bastards.
That's like the guy, so Kate watches a guy on YouTube who just flies first class and premium economy everywhere in the world, and he started doing it and put himself into debt, and now they pay him to do it, and I'm like, that's so annoying. Like, why didn't I have that idea? Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't have wanted myself into debt.
No, yeah, definitely.
We're scared.
Exactly.
We're scared, Dave. We want to make sure we're safe at stadiums.
Exactly. I could put myself into debt with a ticket at River Plate Boca, but I might not be able to pay that debt off and I might die. So,
so that's been stadiums. Or what about, is there a player you're still wanting to see, you know, before they retire? For me, it's Messi. Haven't seen him. Would love to. Feels pie in the sky now.
Yeah, I mean, Messi was on my list, and I was lucky enough to see him. Obviously, Ronaldo played at Old Trafford and United, so I've seen him plenty. If I could go back in time, I would do everything I could to see R9 play. Like, I'd just, to see him live, I think, would have been absolutely phenomenal. Current players, there's not
many. We're in a bit of a new dawn at the moment with footballers, though, it feels. Football kind of skipped a generation, it felt like. You've got the players who are kind of 30 plus who are elite. You've got the players who are under 23 who you can see are going to be elite. That kind of 23 to 30, it's kind of been a bit of a void in the kind of superstar stakes.
And I feel like you mentioned this, I think, I can't remember if it was on a podcast or in just our general chat, where you were like, Grealish was a player you always really admired, but Guardiola sort of battered out of him the flair. And I feel like that need to win is now overtaking the need to entertain, per se. Whereas Grealish at Villa was always an entertainer. And I feel like players like that are a bit hard to come by. I would like to see Mbappe live, just to see how quick he is. Because I think that's lost in translation through TV, when he's clearly very, very fast and is a very good footballer. But I think pace especially gets lost a little bit through TV. And I think understanding how quick someone is with a football is something I'd like to appreciate a bit more in the flesh. Yeah. But there's no real names that jump out at me like, oh, I have to see him play. So, yeah, which is a shame.
Well, that's the end of my questions regarding watching matches live in stadiums. You should have a prepared question for myself.
I do. I do have a prepared question. It's sort of around the atmosphere at stadiums and stuff. And I guess it could be a two-parter. It depends how, I guess, you answer the first bit. But oh no, yeah, we'll make it a two-part question. One, would you ever boo one of your own players? And two, what are your thoughts on booing of your own players? Obviously, it happens quite a lot recently, right? Maguire has been booed everywhere he goes.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a player who effectively might be on the pitch at that time and is your player at that point in time.
Yeah, I feel like it could be it generally happens, right, with a substitution. They're either coming off or they're coming on, and they boo. I think there was a big one with Arsenal, and was it a Boué where he got subbed on and then subbed off and basically got booed at both situations. Maguire obviously got booed on pre-season.
I was saying a Boué.
Yeah. Great quote. Absolutely amazing, that stuff, Josh. Yeah, it's like, would you boo your own, a player for your team? And how
I wouldn't, but I was thinking about it because I've watched Sol Campbell against Spurs, and I remember he came right in front of me to collect the ball for a throw-in, and this is obviously after he left Spurs, and I remember shouting something at him, nothing that bad, but I remember just being really angry at him, and just a few swear words or something, but like really, if you clipped it, it'd be like, that's really pathetic. Like, you're a big nasty man.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I'm happily abuse a former player to a certain degree, but a current player, no, I'm never booing them.
No. Good. Okay.
I mean, there may be some extreme circumstance where they've done something really heinous to discredit themselves as a club or something during, but I can't. But for their performances or for 99.9% of their behaviour, no, I'm never booing, because they are humans, and you want, and no matter how you feel about them, you need to support them. Our job as a fan is to support them, and you can be critical of them, you know, to your mates, to beside you, but booing them is never ever going to help anything.
No, I agree. Yeah, I agree. Have you been around people that have booed?
Normally, there's normally some absolute nutters at football. There's, yeah. There's normally a guy, I remember, because we used to go up, when he used to go and watch, we'd be on the opposite side of the pitch to the managers, and he would spend most of the match shouting orders at whatever Spurs manager was in charge at the time. It's like, he's not going to hear you. Yeah. He's definitely, and what you're saying is garbage, so it's a good job he can't hear you.
There is always, obviously, there's thousands of people in a football stadium at one time, but I guess wherever you sit, there is a moron that sits near you who thinks they know better than the manager or the players or what they can, or what football means and what it is. The worst thing is always, like, I remember Man United versus West Ham, just before Dimitar Berbatov did that amazing bit of skill on the touchline against, I want to say, James Collins, I think it was, at centre back. But just before he did that piece of skill and scored, or set up a goal, I think he scored from it. There was the guy about three rows behind me was literally like, bloody hell, Berbatov, you got to move, you got to want it, you got to run. And I was like, but even before that skill, I was like, have you never seen Dimitar Berbatov play? That's not his style. We haven't signed him to do that. He's not like, this is his first game for the club and he's a youth prospect and he's playing like that. Like, and you can have that opinion that he's never going to put in the work rate. No, that's not his style of play. I'm like, what are you shouting that for, mate? Like, what's the point? Like, yeah.
Yeah. The first match I went to watch with my two boys, and I was sat, so they were with, between me and my wife, and I was sat next to around on my left, and he was just constantly throughout. It's like he looked like being like consummate professional, like well dressed and stuff, but he was just constantly accusing the referee of being bent. So many decisions. It's like, well, that's just a normal decision. Like, let's say, like, because I'm not one of those fans who are going to be completely blind to reality. I'm very much like, that was a foul.
Yeah.
But some fans just can't see it at all, and it just makes me chuckle. It's like, okay.
Did you have to say anything around, like, your because your family were there? Did you have to say anything to any fans? Did anyone say anything a bit too naughty, raucous, loud, or abusive?
They did, but I wasn't going to. But it's their match experience, and right. I maybe have a little glance around or something, a passive aggressive little side eye scowl. But I wasn't going to don't call the referee anything wanker at my kids, because that's part of their match day experience. Yeah. Dave, you learned that word
exactly.
At
yeah.
Arsenal, Liverpool. Yeah.
True. I mean, do you feel like taking kids affects other people's match day? Do you think? Because, like, I think there would be
some tongue biting. I
think I would if I saw a very small child, like, near me. I think I would, but whether that ruins my match day experience or not, I don't know. It depends on the situation. I mean, I've sworn it very loudly on very multiple times at my amateur football when some of our players bring their kids. So maybe it wouldn't ruin my match day experience because I don't do it when my friends' children are there. So
no, and you know, it's all around you, isn't it? And so you, if the match, sometimes a match takes control, and
yeah.
You just kind of, you know, the moment when exciting bit happens and everybody stands up, the clacker of all the seats goes up, and
yeah,
you just can't quite control it at times.
So. Cool, nice. So one final question, because I should, you know, this is live football in the stadium. What about in a pub? Are you loud? Are you like, oh, you know, fuck what, off, not, ref, in a pub? At the
know, no, I've not had to. I don't typically seek out pub experiences to watch football, so. With Spurs, I typically like to watch it by myself.
Yeah.
Because it can normally be an anxious affair. And so, yeah, I haven't got too many memories of watching big matches in pubs, if I'm honest.
Okay.
Yeah. But would I be that effing... Maybe a little bit. I thought it'd be nice to... I wouldn't mind experiencing a kind of really big pub atmosphere for a match. Maybe I should seek it out for like an England match, maybe.
Yeah, I think England matches are better to watch in pubs. It's the only time.
It's a bit more. It's a less tribal, isn't it? In terms of it's you're not going to have too many opposing nations fans around to cause any issues.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, that brings an end to this week's Wikipedia Wanderers, where we discuss watching footballs live in the stadium. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Wikipedia Wanderers, and we'll be here next week with something else to discuss. Thank you.